All right, good morning. Wow, that is loud. Whoa. Hello. Testing. How's that? Better? Still too loud. Okay. Here, I'll move it down a little bit here. Testing. How's that? Better? Okay, perfect. All right, Ecclesiastes. We're going through. It's a sermon from Solomon, King Solomon. Covers a lot of life experiences, and then trying to find value, trying to find something that lasts in life, and so he experiences all kinds of things and makes all kinds of observations. And in Ecclesiastes 7, that's where we are this morning, verse 19. Just a couple of verses, because I don't like doing this as much anymore, where you get so narrowed down to one thing. But some of these thoughts merit their own studies. So anyhow, Ecclesiastes 7, 19 and 20 are the verses we're looking at, and it deals with wisdom as strength, you could say brains over brawn, but it's not exactly brains, it's more than that. It's wisdom as a superior form of strength than just physical power or physical ability. And so the two verses read like this. Ecclesiastes 7:19 says, "Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Well, we'll maybe look at that part of it in a little bit. But for sure, verse 19, "Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city." So wisdom as a superior form of strength, superior to physical power, physical abilities, things like that. So let's pray. And that's the theme this morning. That's something that like David told Solomon, whatever you get wisdom. Make sure you get wisdom, because that is far superior to anything else. But let's pray and we'll talk about these things. All right, Father, thank you for this time together. Lord, I do pray for those that are sick, that you'd heal up their bodies, help them. For those of us here, Lord, that you would teach us your words, help us go through what we're going through here and learn what we need to learn about what you said, and that you would feed your flock this morning. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the idea is pretty simple. Wisdom is greater than physical strength. And strength can be defined, just to start off, strength can be defined as the ability to do something, to do work. It's the ability to do work. In fact, Proverbs, you don't have to turn there. Solomon would say, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. That means you don't have the ability to do what you need to do. And so when adversity comes, you fail at it, you fall apart at it. And so strength is just the ability to do work. And that's a good definition of it. In this verse, "Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city." One man can do the job of 10 if that one man is wise. And this is a principle that it's very, really kind of easy to find out in life. For instance, technology is a good example of this, where you can hire, 100, 200 people to harvest, with or seed a field or whatever it is, and you can do that. You can hire a bunch of people to do that, or you can get a tractor or something like that and do the work of 200 people in, you know, a day or 12 hours or something. And it may take the other 200 people a week or a month to do something like that. So these kinds of principles are pretty easily fleshed out in life, where if you leverage, you leverage some of the principles at work in the world and even in the physical world, you can get more things done. And that's the idea. So technology has proven this to be true. I think I was reading some statistic. I was trying to figure out how much can be done in harvesting, for instance. It says, what I wrote down is some harvesting machines do 30 to 40 times the work at the same cost as hiring labor. So 30 or 40 times the work at the same cost. That's leveraging the ability, you know, that's taking something and using your mind to build something and put something to work, and it does the work of 10 strong men or something like that. Information technology is the same way, and that stuff is just off the charts. How much can be done with information and information technology, and the processing abilities of computers and things these days. It's just off the charts. What can be done in a matter of seconds? It's a matter of retaining information, processing information, incredible. So this principle, it's alive and well in life, everyday life. But wisdom it's greater than physical strength, and in those cases, I don't want to necessarily go to verse 20 yet, because it's dealing with something else that's a type of an aspect of wisdom, but we'll maybe deal with it next week. Anyhow, let me ask you guys, as we start off here. So in the Bible, there's several examples of this being true, where wisdom is far superior to physical power. And this shows up over and over in the Bible in people's lives. And let me ask you guys, can y'all think of any illustrations, any times, any stories in the Bible, any history where wisdom is just far superior to maybe the sheer number of people? Maybe the odds are against somebody, for instance, or something like that, and wisdom wins out. It just proves to be something that is so much better than just the physical strength of people. You guys got any? Go ahead, Maureen.
I don't know the lady's name. Israel was going to attack the city because somebody was hiding out in the city. A lady said, you know, what do you guys want? And they said, we want the head of that guy. She put his head over the wall and they went over.
So that, yes. So what Maureen's talking about is in 2 Samuel, there is this, I'd say convict. He's not a convict, but he is a bad guy. And he hides out in this city. And Joab, one of the generals for David, Joab goes to the city and essentially starts to attack the city just to get this guy out. Because if you're holding, you know, you're harboring a fugitive is what you're doing. And Joab's just like, well, we'll just burn down the city and we'll take care of this. And this lady comes out and negotiates this deal with Joab and says, look, if you're just looking for this guy, if we give him to you, will you just leave? And he says, okay. And so they spend some time, they find the fugitive and they kill him, throw him over the wall, and Joab takes his army and leaves. And that was because of one lady who could clearly never fight a battle. She was not gonna go against the forces of Joab and the armies outside the city, but because of her wisdom, because she figured out a way to negotiate this thing, figured out what it is he's after, Well, he's after this guy. Well, all you're after is this guy. If we give him to you, will you leave? Yeah, okay. So that was actually, that's one of the examples right there. All right, what else? What's another one? I know you guys know some other ones. Just think about it a little bit. Where wisdom wins out, where there's maybe a large number of people or a king in power or something like that, and somebody with some wisdom shows up and negotiates and maneuvers and something so that peace wins out or victory or something that exposes the frailty of physical strength in place of wisdom. Go ahead, Alan. Gideon. So here you go. That one's right here. So Gideon, y'all remember Gideon. So Gideon has, and it's interesting with Gideon because he starts off with, I think, 24,000 or 28,000 troops, or people who said they're willing to go. And even at that number, anybody remember how many Midianites there are that are in the army? It's like 135,000. So he starts off with 28,000 or 24,000. So he's already, you're not going to win the numbers game. You're just not going to win. And so he comes with these willing men, and then he makes the Lord says, "Oh, you gotta get rid of some of them." And so he gets rid of some of them. I think most of them go home when he says, "If you're afraid, just go home." So most of them just go home. Then I think the last thing, he takes them to the water. They drink some water, and how they're drinking determines who he's going to take. And he ends up with 300 people. 300 people against 135,000 Midianites. 300. And he goes, and the battle plan is these 300 men take these clay pots with fire in them and surround the Midianite camp. And it's at night, so they can't see. And so Gideon would blow the trumpet, and the men would break the clay pots. And what it would look like to the Midianites, because it's nighttime, is they are completely surrounded by an Israeli army. When really there's just 300 people with clay pots around. And so they break the pots, the fires, you know, start, they can see the fire, the Midianites can see the fire, they can see the people surrounding them, and they panic, they just panic. And they start, I don't know, they start killing each other, they just head for the hills. And so in that time, it's physical strength doesn't make any difference. It didn't make any difference. And so the wisdom of Gideon, yeah, just like Alan said, the wisdom of Gideon wins out. 32,000, that's how many he starts with, 32,000. And so even at the beginning, the odds are never in his favor with the numbers. So Gideon, that's a good one, the lady that saves the city by giving Joab what he wants. What's some other ones? There's several. What else? Where wisdom is something that is superior to just physical strength. Well, that's a good one, because it's not necessarily wisdom pitted against physical strength. But physical strength would have had nothing to do with how you figured this thing out. If you could bench press 400 pounds, you still couldn't figure out how to solve this situation. And so yeah, that's a good example where Solomon has to figure out who's the mother here. Who is the mother of this child? And physical strength would have never been able to tell you the judgment there. You would have no idea. I'll give you a couple more. David and Goliath. Of course, you got David and Goliath. You've got Goliath, who is far superior physically to David. If it was just about physical ability, David would have been smushed like a little roach or something. And so, but it's not. That's not what it was about. It's about carrying the Lord's name. It's about honoring God on the battlefield. It's about defending the Lord. It's David had all of those things in mind. And so David fears God. He's not necessarily worried about Goliath. Goliath to him is just a just some heathen who defies God and mocks God. And so, Goliath is no match for God. And that's what David thinks about the whole situation. He's right. So the Lord helps David there. I think about one of the men that's really talked about as being wise is Daniel. And Daniel he's this orphaned kid in Babylon who rises to political power because of wisdom. And he sees several things early on in life where the first thing, the diet, he wants to at least honor God with something. He's in Babylon. He can't go to, there's no tabernacle to go to, so good luck following that law. Good luck celebrating the holidays and stuff like that. And so he's at least going to follow some dietary rules to honor God in that part of his life and not eat things sacrificed to idols, stuff like that. And so so he does that and negotiates some terms so that he can do it. And that begins some of his, where he's set apart from all the other people. Like this kid is different. He's just different. He's wise. He knows how to handle these situations. And so Daniel's a wise man. His ability to trust God, even when all the wise men in Babylon would be killed at that point in time, or the interpretation of the dream where all those wise men would be killed, stuff like that. Daniel's a good example of that. And so really several examples through the Bible where wisdom is just far superior to physical strength. And it's not necessarily that physical strength is bad. It's just not as good as wisdom. It's just not as good. And so wisdom can do much more than physical strength can. Now, that said, there's a few examples in nature that God gives. And these are pretty cool. But in Proverbs chapter 30, if you want to look at it, we can look at it. In Proverbs 30, there's a few examples given about wisdom's superiority. And verse 24, I always like these verses. I like this stuff where you can observe things in nature that God created and their natural just understanding of life and doing things. So Proverbs chapter 30, these are some examples of what Solomon just said in Ecclesiastes. Starting in verse 24, it says, "There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, so they don't have physical strength, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies," that's like rabbits, "are but a feeble folk," there's that weakness again, "yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces." So Solomon gives four examples here, and we'll do a little back and forth about some of these. He gives four examples of creatures that are physically weak. They don't, I mean, they're you could step on them if you wanted to, but they're exceeding wise, so they survive and they thrive. They're very adept at what they do, and they understand certain things about life, and so that's the way God created them to be. And so the first example he gives is an ant. What is, in verse 25, "the ants are people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer." So what is the wisdom of the ant? What is he doing? What are they doing? storing it up, preparation. Yeah, they're preparing for something inevitable, really. And that's like there's some sayings about stuff like that. There's an ounce of what is it? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Yeah, that's true. So the ants find strength in preparation. So when it comes time to eat in winter, it wouldn't matter if they were strong if they didn't have any food. Because they have to understand that you're going to have to use your understanding of life and seasons and cycles and things like that, and they have all this stuff naturally, so they find their strength in preparation. And the Lord is clear and careful to say there are people not strong, but they prepare. So when it comes time to eat, when it comes time to need food, they have it. So wisdom here is preparation. You could say, you know, physical strength is equated to, you know, gym workouts or being able to lift a certain amount of whatever weight. Just like wisdom is equated to preparation. That's what wisdom is. It's preparation for something that's inevitable. Wisdom is often found in preparations that are made. Somebody said it this way when it comes to like architecture and building. I don't know where I heard it, but I've heard it several times. But they said you save the green with the blue, which means blueprints save money. When you know what you're trying to build, you save the green, the money, with the blue. You save the money with the blueprints. that's not to say all plans are good plans. Not to say all plans are good plans, but if you don't have any plans, you're going to end up spending a lot more than if you had some plans. So that's the idea, preparation. So the ants prepare what they know will happen. They prepare for what they know will happen. And there's a few things in life for people. We know that, for instance, there's judgment coming. There's some judgment coming. And if you don't believe the Bible, if you don't believe God, I mean, everybody understands judgment. Everyone understands this concept that there is righteousness and there is wickedness. Everyone understands that. It doesn't matter who you are, you understand that. And everyone would probably agree that not everything in the world is right. So you have this understanding that there's a way things should be. That's just not the way they are. And so, you know, even if you don't believe the Bible, you can get to this understanding that judgment and at least some point to make things right is going to happen. Judgment's going to happen. You prepare for judgment. The Bible's pretty clear. You know, God's the judge. One day you'll stand before Jesus Christ, things like that. Judgment's going to happen. The Lord's going to sort everything out. And that actually is part of Ecclesiastes. He's like, you know, you can't figure everything out right now. You're just not going to be able to figure it all out. And so Solomon would say, in lieu of figuring it all out, the best thing to do, fear God, keep his commandments. Because you're not going to figure it all out. And you're just not going to be able to understand all of it. But that's at a later time in Ecclesiastes. This is about the preparations. You know, judgment's coming. You should know that meeting God is going to happen. Prepare to meet thy God. That's going to happen. And so preparations need to be made for that. In life, if you live long enough, you know retirement's coming. You know that's going to happen. So probably ought to think about that and not over-spiritualize. Well, it's just God's going to just make it happen and dump money in my lap. Well, maybe he tried to dump some wisdom in your lap so that you would prepare for it. And so those things need to be thought about. If you live long enough, you'll see bad health. That's going to happen. And as much as you prepare financially for these things. You probably ought to prepare mentally for these things. That, you know, this stuff is going to happen. And as best as you can, you try not to be surprised by it. Like, it's going to happen. And so these are things that are just inevitable things. Just like the ants, they prepare. Well, they're not strong, but their wisdom is better than if they were strong. Then you've got the rabbits. He talks about the conies in verse 26. The conies are a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. So they understand their weakness. And that's a good thing. You need to be self-aware. So they understand their weakness, so they surround themselves with strength. They live in rocks. That's because they don't have any other protection, and they're weak people, and so they surround themselves with strength, and that's kind of leveraging the strength around you. That's what the rabbits do. And then, you know, you can make some good application, I'm sure, with Jesus Christ the rock and stuff like that, but this is, you could probably preach a sermon on that too, but the idea is their wisdom is that they surround themselves with strength because they understand they're not strong people, just leveraging the stuff around them. Then you've got the locusts, and this is kind of like organizational wisdom and understanding your place. It says in verse 27, the locusts have no king. So they don't have a visible head, and they don't have someone that's visibly telling them, line up here, line up here, line up here, line up here. You do this, you do that, you do that. They don't have that, but they're able to organize themselves in a way that's productive and keeps them thriving where they are. And so they don't necessarily need a visible king. And I'm sure you can make another application to Jesus Christ. You don't have a visible king right now, but there's clear instructions about how to organize yourselves and stuff like that. But organization is a form of wisdom. Organization. And so the strength of the locusts is that they know their place among the other locusts. They go forth by bands, the Bible says, because they know their place. They're able to organize themselves. They can find strength in numbers. They can use all of that, their togetherness or their companionship together and their relationship to each other to get things done that one of them could never get done, but a million of them can get done. So their organizational wisdom, and there's a lot of, you know, labor's divided, the blessings are multiplied, stuff like that, in abundance like that. So organizational wisdom. And then there's protection in the multitude. A swarm of locusts can accomplish what one locust can't, and all that. So all of these are examples of wisdom, where you've got organization, you've got preparation, you've got surrounding yourself with things that are stronger than you to help you. And then the spider, the last one here, he says, the spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. This is like diligence. This is something that, and I'm reading through these thinking all of these could be turned into probably sermons in some way, but diligence is wisdom. The spider is like this opportunist, somebody that is strategic. They place their web, they wait. They take the web down. They hide during the day, and I mean it's interesting. So their diligence is using their hands to build her house, to catch her prey, all of that stuff, and pretty soon you find a spider in a place that you wouldn't even think you would find a spider in a palace where a king is supposed to be, and that's cool. So. You know, I think about you go through a palace and you look at all of the expensive stuff that's there. You know, all of the vessels and the tapestries and all that stuff that's there. And then you find a little spider web in a corner somewhere, and it's like, how did that get here? Well, somebody was diligent to get there, and they managed to get there. And so this really seemingly insignificant creature manages with just grabbing hold with her hands to put herself in a place that is really for kings. That's pretty good. So diligence is a form of wisdom, and it's superior to just physical strength. It reminds me, the spider reminds me of this. Paul would say it this way, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary in well-doing. And that diligence is something that's seen in that little spider. So all that said, well, I'm not going to go through the 20. We'll save that for next week because that's a whole other topic. But wisdom is a form of strength. It's superior in many ways to physical strength. Not that physical strength is bad or any of that stuff, or not that sometimes you don't need physical strength. Sometimes you just need physical strength. But wisdom is superior to that. And so with all you're getting, as David would say, with all you're getting, get wisdom. Get that. So there's a few examples of it. Preparation, organization, those kinds of things. Surrounding yourself, diligence, those kinds of things are wisdom. That's what wisdom is. So, all right, we'll wrap it up. Let's pray, and we'll go next door. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your words. Just a little, just a few thoughts on this one verse, really, and I pray it's helpful. I think a lot of this stuff is kind of self-explanatory in a lot of ways, but I pray you'd help us make the applications. I think sometimes we rely on things that, I don't know, if we relied on being wise people, that would cover a lot more ground than trying to physically manipulate things. So Lord, I pray that you would help us make the applications that need to be made. I thank you for each soul that's here this morning. And for those that are traveling, that you'd give them safety. And then for those that are sick today, that you'd heal up their bodies, help them get better. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.